It is written, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Thus magnify thy word above all thy name. Thy word is truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open the word to 2 Thessalonians 2:10. We have made it a whole verse. Only took us about 4 weeks, but we got there. Again, a lot of material in there. I mean, we could have gone, we could put the material on the back table, the different names for Satan, some 30 names for him, descriptive titles, his real name being Hillel from the Hebrew, bright and shining one. We have his strategy. That's a whole separate doctrine we've taught in the past. By the way, this week we're working on, Judy's got some of the new doctrines or revised versions of doctrines posted. So I think we've got some 60 or so on the website now, various studies and things that we have done over the last 10 or 11 years, and so that material is all available to hopefully download, and so it's getting updated. We're trying to do that, keep it up. She does do a great job of keeping the lessons on there, so for probably the last 8 or 9 years, everything's on there. Some of it can't be, I don't think they can do it. Did you ever get all of it done yet? There's still some of the back ones that they can listen, but they can't download or something. Yeah, because that we had an old system originally in the website, and so we've got a. It's a lot of work trying to get each one. You got to do each one individually and set it up so that people can download it. But anything you can listen to it, and any of the new stuff you can listen or download the information. So we're getting a little better there, and our website is certainly encouraging folks not only to look and listen. Hopefully, you're keeping up with our Thursday studies. If you can't be there in person, we'd love to have you there in person. As I said, Thursday has a lot of heavy material that we don't do sometimes on Sunday. We just don't have the time. I was talking about one day we were hoping that we could maybe start at 9:30. That would give us a little more time, but we're kind of on crunch here to get out. And so we have the time that we have. We have to do as best we can with what we've been given, since it's not our own building. You're probably lucky, because I'd go till 2 o'clock, you know. And some would love it, and some would go, I think you're overtime, Pastor, you know. So at any rate, I appreciate the time we have. And so look at verse 10. We'll read it in the English. Then we'll take a look at it. Verse 10, 2 Thessalonians 2:10. It continues right on. The verse starts in 8, or the actual thought. And then the lawless one will be revealed, for whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth, and will bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That's at the second advent, not at the rapture. This is all tribulation time. That is, the one whose coming is in accordance with the activity or the energizing of the Satan, we said, with all power and signs and wonder. The power, of course, is the fact that Satan empowers the Antichrist to have all the power to do things, and also the beast out of the land, who is also a false prophet, as he is called. We have the Antichrist and the false prophet, and he actually is the one who leads towards believing in the Antichrist, interestingly enough. And so this deception and wickedness comes in the form of power, signs, and false wonders. In the next verse it says, and with all deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. So here we have a reference to salvation, and it talks about those who did not believe so that they could be saved. This, of course, is salvation phase one here, and the deception of wickedness in the tribulation will be Satan's last attempt to keep those who might otherwise believe, because of the ministry of the 144,000, the angelic ministry, the ministry of Moses and Elijah type individuals, all of the evangelism during the tribulation, and yet some will not get it, and wickedness will be at its height. Some have said that the things that are coming up, someone was telling me there's a planet alignment or something going on, and the end of the world. And I go, here we go again. How many times have we had planet alignment? We had the blood moons. And listen, that's all tribulation. It's going to be way, way worse, not like the eclipse or any of that stuff. In the tribulation, the sun goes dark and the moon goes dark. No eclipse. The stars fall. There will be meteor showers. And, of course, the destruction on Earth will be horrific. In fact, one of the judges judgments is the hailstones that come that weigh 150 pounds. You know, we've seen hailstones that like the size of a ping pong ball, but maybe a baseball in some rare extent. But think of a hailstone weighing 120 pounds. It's just, we can't even imagine. And they'll be on fire. And so everywhere that they land, fires will start. You think we got fires now? So we are not in the tribulation, as bad as things may seem. We're under judgment as a nation. I believe that personally. But it's going to be much worse in the tribulation. We will escape that because the Lord will remove us. But woe to those who live through it. In fact, three of the judgments are called the woes. Woe one, woe two, and woe three. That'd make a good sermon sometime. The three woes. Well, whoa, whoa, whoa. Sounds like somebody trying to stop a horse. But anyway, those are judgments in the tribulation. They're not today, as bad as it gets. And so our job as believers is to live the life that God wants us to live, to receive those blessings, and to acquaint and give information to as many as will sit still for that information of the gospel, so that they can join us as we are taken out at the rapture. So now in this verse, it's talking about the deception of wickedness. All deceit we have, and I need to use this because you may think I've forgotten how to use it, so I'll put it up here. We have the Greek word apate. It looks like this, A-P-A-T-E, apate, and it's a compound word. It has A, which is not, the negative, it's called the alpha privative. Anytime in Greek you put an A in front of a word, it doesn't mean like indefinite article, it means negative or the opposite. Pate, P-A-T-E, where we get the word walk. In fact, we see it in the word peripateo. Peri is around. Pateo means to walk around. Peripateo comes to mean the Christian way of life. Peripateo. How do you live the Christian life? How do you walk around? Here it's walking not. Walking negative. Walking in opposition to God. And it's translated as deception, deceit, seduction. All of those things. Sometimes instead of walk, to lead. And then the negative would be to mislead. And so it comes in its form, apate, to deceive. We have the adjective pas, which means all. All deceit, all deception, all seduction right here. We have many places where we see this kind of thing again in Scripture. For example, in Colossians. Look over in Colossians 2:8, just as one example here. I have little red marks on some of these. I go, do I need to cover that? And I go, oh, that's so good. I just hate to pass it up. So pardon me for doing that, but there it is. Colossians 2:8. In verse 8 it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception." There it is. "According to the traditions of men, according to the elemental principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." That's what I saw on Saturday at that Saturday market. All those booths. There was a good booth down there, the Gideons. And so I stopped and talked to them for a while and told them how much I appreciate. They said, "Do you want a Bible?" I said, "No, I got a dozen of them." "Oh," they said, "are you a pastor?" I said, "Yes." And so I talked to them for a little while, got their card, and it's a local chapter. And I said, "Well, we'll try to have you come and speak to us sometime." Love the Gideons. Always check in the hotel wherever I go to see if there's a Gideon Bible there. They have put Bibles in multiple tens of thousands of hotels and motels around the world. It's one of the most silent and powerful ministries out there. And I told you the story once before, but it bears repeating, and I shared it with him. When we were on tour with Campus Crusade, we went to a Gideon luncheon to kind of present what we did as we traveled and presented the claims of Christ in our weightlifting program. And there must have been 50 men there in a circle sitting on chairs. And we had time for prayer, and they all got up and turned around and knelt at their chairs. I was just freaked out. I'd never seen anything like that. And they prayed for probably 20 or 30 minutes, just different people praying, all sorts of thing. What a prayer ministry. And that was just one of these Gideon locals organizations. So they are a praying group of folks. I'm just really pleased with the fact that God has used men who are not necessarily ministers, but men who feel their calling to get the word of God into people's hands. How many tens of thousands have been saved because of desperation, and they were in a hotel room and they pulled out a Gideon Bible and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people give a testimony to that, and so I spent some time with them. That was one of the bright spots down there on Saturday. And of course, we talked about the others, but the others were deceit and seduction. And again, the word here, seduction, as we see it in Colossians 2:8, and also over in Hebrews 3, Hebrews 3:13, we see it as well. Hebrews 3, verse 13. But encourage one another day by day. That's what we're doing here. As long as it's still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. It seems like it's fun for a season, and then it backs up on you and all the ramifications. And not only are you out of fellowship and not losing potential reward, but of course you can get sick. You can have all manner of things that attack your life. People say, why is my life such a mess? Sin! And say, well, you know, I've confessed my sin. Well, keep going. Keep studying the Word of God. Keep growing. And you may have to pay a penalty for sin. Some sins, you know, you can confess and God forgives and that's it. If it's a crime and you confess it, it's forgiven, but you may do jail time. You may be executed because of that sin, because it's not only sin, but it's criminal. And it may be that it requires criminal justice, even to the point of death for that particular crime. And so, sometimes sins have repercussions that extend down through many, many years. Even though you've been forgiven, you may be a believer, but the sin has repercussions. So sometimes I think about, you know, and I don't want to dwell on this, but this young man that threw a firecracker or whatever it was that started this horrific blaze. I just feel for him and his family. He's got to bear that. And yeah, God will forgive him that sin if he's a believer. But the result of that is so horrific. So terrible in his life. I mean, it may destroy him and his family. He can never get over that. It's just one of those things. I mean, I don't think we've had loss of life, particularly loss of homes. Certainly the beauty of our area. We've probably been fortunate there haven't been lives and more property lost. One stupid thing. And all of us have done stupid things and sins. Sometimes we get away with it. And we confess it and God forgives it and that's it. Sometimes the results are just astronomical and horrific. And so we need to be careful about our sin life and the unrighteousness and the deceit of unrighteousness. The word unrighteousness is also a compound. It is adikaias, A-D-I-K-I-A-S. You can see there's the alpha privative in front. It's not. And the word dikaios is righteous. So it's not righteous. It's translated as unrighteousness. Here it's in the genitive case, and the genitive is descriptive, saying the deceitfulness of unrighteousness. You are not righteous when you do these things. You may have imputed righteousness as a believer, but you are demonstrating not that righteousness, rather the unrighteousness of the deceitfulness of sin, which has become what you're doing in life by way of behavior. And so we have that, and I put a note here and I highlighted, why is there so much wickedness in the world? A question. The answer, and of course this will be on your test, so don't worry about it next week, but we'll give you that. Sin. Why is there so much wickedness? Sin, the sin of Adam, and all who are of Adam's line except Christ have sinned. Now there's help. We get help from Satan. We get help from the demons. We get help from the cosmic system. We get help from other people who are in league with Satan. So the world, the flesh, and the devil, but our own old sin nature is probably the greatest thing that keeps us in evil and sin. And all of us have one. We can't escape it in this life. We just can control it. And the only way to control it is through faith alone in Christ alone and moment by moment confession of sin. Acknowledge to the Father, I have sinned, name the sin, and then all unrighteousness is picked up. It's the mechanics of confession. Pastor Thiem used to call it rebound. Whatever you call it, it's naming, citing. It's the word homologeo in the Greek. Homo, same. Logeo, to say the same thing. God says it's sin. You go, yep, it's sin, God. I recognize it. I'm acknowledging it to you. And he says, okay, sin was covered on the cross. back in fellowship. However, there may be some ramifications of this particular sin, and that may be the case. Remember David's sin with Bathsheba. This caused great ramifications in his life, in the life of the people of Israel. And so sometimes sin is extensive in its result. Now we have this word found, again, many places. One example, really good, is in Romans 1, 18 and 19. Romans 1, 18 and 19. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness, ungodliness, and unrighteousness of men, who do what? Suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Same thing we have in our verse. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for they made it evident, for God made it evident to them. And so these people suppress the truth in unrighteousness. All of the cults, all of the philosophies, all the religions of the world are works based. It's easy to determine a religion as opposed to Christianity, a cult as opposed to Christianity, a philosophy as opposed to Christianity. They're all works. If you do this, you'll get this result. If you don't do this, you'll get this result. It's all do, do, do. And Christianity is not do, do, do. Christianity is done, done, done. Jesus did it all. It's done. It's finished. That's that fourth cup. So Christianity is done. Now what do? Well, you demonstrate what's already done. Christ has done the work, and now I say thank you, and I live that life of completion. And that demonstrates the righteousness of God in my life. So remember, all religions and cults and philosophies are do, do, do. Christianity is done, done, done. Maybe that'll help. Sometimes little things like that stick with you. I think somebody told me that about a week ago. I go, I like that. That preaches. I'm going to use that. There it is, huh? Preachers like those clever little things. That wasn't mine. I stole it from somebody else, but I like it. I like it. Now, you can use it, too. When somebody said, you say, well, what do you have to do in that Mormon church? What do you have to do in that Catholic church? What do you have to do? Oh, I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to say the rosary. I got to do confession. I got to do. You go, gee, in Christianity, it's all done. All I have to do is just say, thank you, Lord, and let it work through me. Holy Spirit works through me, and whatever I do is God working through me. I don't have to do anything. God does it all through me. You have to do, 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 and then maybe, if there's a God that you believe in, maybe he'll take care of you, and maybe not. And so, sad situation. All right, so that's the unrighteousness or the deceitfulness, all unrighteousness. And of course, we have 1 John 1:9, which we know, if we confess our sins, the known sins, he is faithful and just or righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There it is. So it comes up again and again. And it is for those who are being lost. Those who are being lost. We have the Greek word apolumi. Apo is from, lumi means to lose. To lose away from is to be totally devoid of, to be ruined, to perish, to be lost, to die. Apolumi can mean to die. Well, you can die the sin unto death as an unbeliever, and lake of fire is your destiny. Or you can just lose salvation and have no blessing in this life. So those who are being lost, we have here the participial form. The participle shows ongoing action in present time. They are in the process of being lost. They're not completely lost until they die. At that point, that's the end. There's no reprieve. There's no purgatory. I was reading about that, you know. You can go to purgatory. Well, the only purgatory I know is up there in Colorado, north of our old home. Purgatory was a ski resort, and they had sticks, and they had all these runs that were like mythology there. So when people say they're going to purgatory, I go, hey, that's a great place to ski. They go, what? No, there's no biblical basis for any such place where you get a second chance, or your relatives, because you were stupid, they can pray you out of there. And of course, most people go to purgatory unless you have a sinless life, you know, like Mother Teresa. I don't know if she goes to purgatory or not. I don't know. But all of these people tried to work for salvation. And if they didn't do enough, they go to purgatory and they can work some more, and their friends can pray them out. Insanity. It's works. It's do, do, do. Because they are being, participle, lost, past tense. They are caused to be lost because of negative volition. Because why? Because the love of the truth, They have not received it so that they could be saved. You get saved how? By receiving the truth. What truth? The gospel of Jesus Christ. The word truth is the word aletheia. We've seen it before. I'll put it up here. In fact, Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth. So the very essence of truth is Jesus Christ. He is the essence of truth. It is one of the attributes of God. We call it veracity. Big word for truth. God is the essence of veracity or truth. And he tells the truth. A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia. That's not the alpha privative there. It's part of the word. Aletheia. A-L-E. Long E. Eta pronounced as an A. Aletheia. And then T-H, theta, E-I-A. It is truth. Now, truth has many forms. It can be the work, the gospel. That's the truth. Or it can be the Bible in general. The entire Bible is the truth of God revealed to us in a book. Exclusive of other writings, of course. Then we have the principles for society. Part of the Word of God is designed to keep people free. And a free society, keep people from and nations from killing one another. So we have what we call the laws of establishment. Years ago, Pastor Thiem put together the idea of four primary laws of establishment. There are subcategories, but basically they are freedom, free will, because we have a volition. We can choose for or against God. Secondly, we have right man and right woman. No right woman, no right man, just a one woman and one man in marriage. That is a biblical concept. It's God's design for the human race. Anything else is verboten, is not God's will. And I mean, you can say, well, I'm very happy because I'm a gay person or whatever it is, a transgender. These are non-biblical concepts. You cannot agree to that. People say, well, we don't want to rock the boat. I'm going to rock the boat. Anytime somebody says to me, I say, no, it's wrong biblically. You could do it. You could do any sin you want, but it's not in the Word of God. God says no. Marriage, a right man and a right woman. Some of us find our right woman, our right man. Some of us don't. It's a tragedy if you don't. Some try four or five times and never get there. And it's a sad thing. And so, but if you find your right woman or your right man, as I have, and I hope Judy, is that right? Well, she thought I was hot, whatever that means. Anyway, see what happens when I get feeling better. I get kind of testy. At any rate, marriage is sacred. Marriage is sacred. The marriage bed is sacred, the writer of Hebrews tells us. Third, we have, of course, the family. And today, the family's just exploded. People have two dads, two moms, no parents. Children from have all kind of adoption. Not that I'm opposed. I think adoption's wonderful because a lot of children out there have lost one or both parents, and they're in a terrible situation, and others adopt, and that's great, I think. But ultimately, there should be a family unit, a papa, a mama, and children. There may be an extended family. It is a biblical concept to have freedom and order in society. God has ordained the family. In fact, the body of Christ is based on the family model. We are patrician. We are family. Back in Tulsa, we had a church called Patrician. It means a family. We're part of the family of God. You know, God the Father, God the Son, and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ the Son. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. The word brethren, sistren, and so forth refers to the family of God. God uses the family model. He uses marriage. Jesus Christ is the husband, the church collectively, we're the bride of Christ. He uses those literal meanings to give a spiritual significance. Many times in scripture, things have double and triple intentions, double entendres, as we've already seen, for example, with the communion service, which had freedom originally for Israel from Egypt. Now it has freedom for the soul through Jesus Christ. But it's also that redemption here, then, and always. And the fourth one, of course, is nations. God has ordained that there be nations, and while we think that in the kingdom in the future, Jesus Christ will rule over the whole world, Scripture is clear, there will be nations. There will be nations. Egypt and other nations will come to Israel on the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths. And in fact, if they don't come down, specific thing with regard to Egypt, since they sometimes want to do things contrary to God, if Egypt doesn't come down and send representation on the Feast of Booths, God's going to withhold rain from them. In the future. So there'll be rain, we know, and there'll be nations. Now, Egypt is going to be punished for 40 years. I'll show you that later. That comes up on Thursdays. But anyway, 40 years in the kingdom, Egypt is a desolation. But then it'll be inhabited after that. Edom, on the other hand, is destroyed forever. Nothing ever in Edom, which is, of course, the descendants of Esau. And we studied that in the book of Obadiah. The book of Obadiah is all about the destruction of Edom. Edom comes from Esau, the descendants of Esau. Anyway, the Edomites. So we've got, God has a system, and that system is foolproof. It is prophetically exactly real. So truth then. Again, we have the gospel specifically. We have the Bible generally. We have establishment principles, particularly for society, for freedom, which are free will, marriage, family, and nations. There will be nations in the kingdom. There will be freedom of volition. There will be marriage in the kingdom. We, of course, beyond that, we have a resurrection body. There's no marriage for us. We'll know our spouse, but it's not going to be significant as far as we know in the kingdom. We're like angels. We neither marry or give in marriage in heaven or in the resurrected body. But I don't think we worry about it because we have so many other things that we're doing. And again, I think there'll be plenty of work for us to do, administering in the kingdom. Some of us will be ruling particular cities. And of course, we know one example, King David in resurrection body will be the ruler in Jerusalem. Says so in Ezekiel. Nobody hardly ever studies Ezekiel. When have you ever been to church besides this that ever taught Ezekiel, for heaven's sakes? And 40 through 48 talks about the future. You want to know about the future? It talks about it specifically. We've been noting it on Thursday night. So many things dealing with truth. John 14:6, of course, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The last part of this verse then says, why? Because they have not received the love of the truth, so as to be saved. This is phase one salvation. The love of the truth, that is, they have not received. The word received here is the word, it's interesting, this is dechomai, D-E-C-H-O-M-A-I, D-E-C-H-O-M-A-I. For those new, this is the Greek, this is the transliteration. Not the translation, but the transliteration, letter for letter. So we have D-E-C-H, the Dechomai, Dechomai, and it means to receive. And there's two words for receive. One of them, of course, is lambano, to receive as your very own. Dechomai, to simply take. They're very, very similar, and they're used almost interchangeably. I haven't been able to find a nickel's worth of difference. Both of them are used for accepting Jesus Christ. We know that in, for example, John 1:12, as many as what? Received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. That's lambano. Here we have dechomai, and those who have not received the love of the truth. That is, they didn't love the gospel. In other words, they didn't get, they got the information, but they rejected it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe later. I'll give it some thought. So they didn't receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Here we have salvation in the infinitive form, so it's a little unusual. We'd expect a regular verb form, but the infinitive form is unto the two saved of them, literally, unto the two saved of them. And it's passive, it's aorist, indicating point of time. Aorist tense means a point of time. They did not make a decision to believe in Jesus Christ so as to be saved. Passive voice, you don't save yourself. One thing we find in the cults today, Mormonism, Catholic Church, any cult that you want to mention, they have a means whereby you can save yourself. You do this, you do that, and you'll have salvation. As you in the Catholic Church, you have to attend so many masses. They never say how many you have to do. you don't do enough, you go to purgatory and ski. No, but you know what I mean? It's a strange thing. People that think they're going to lose their salvation and have to do good work. How many do you need to do to get saved? And you have to do to get saved. If you don't do enough, you didn't make it. The Muslims, same thing. If they're good enough, then, of course, Allah may say, no. Or he may say, yes. He's a capricious God. Our God says, if you believe in my son, you're in. And that's it. No matter how stupid you are afterwards or before. With Muslims, you got to keep on and on doing and doing and doing. Maybe, you get in. Then you get the 72 virgins. That's why this whole idea of suicide bombers is so important, because they figure, that's got to do it. If nothing else will do it, that if I do that, I'm a shoo-in, you know. And so you wonder why people do that. And Satan goes, all right, I got another idiot. Sad. It's sad. We live in a nutso world today. Well, you're in the right place. I hope you know that. And I will do this as long as God gives me breath. By the way, I want to do next week when I come back, I want to do these different Jesus. Let me just show you something here as we close out. And I'm going to make it here. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:4. And we did finish verse 10, so we got verse 9 and 10. Hooray, huh? Pastor can do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. Here's where we are today. But they were there in the first century. Nothing's new. The mystery of lawlessness was already at work, and it continues to intensify, now particularly in the church. 2 Corinthians 11:4 says, "For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit," spirit of the demons, 1 Timothy 4:1, "which you have not received," that's lambano there, "or a different gospel, which you have not accepted," that is, you didn't believe, that's dekomai, you didn't accept that gospel, "you bear it beautifully." In other words, the Corinthians, he's saying here, that they these people are coming with a different gospel. Now, when we were at the conference that last week, one of the things that's coming up, of course, is, this is part of the Berean call, well, not this isn't, this is another group. It's called the Jesus Calling Movement. Some of you may have seen this. These were new to me. I mean, when you talk about cults, there's new ones popping up all the time. This is a big one. It's called Jesus Calling. This has crept into the local churches. People are using this for devotional. This woman, Sarah Young, hooks up with avatars. She channels demons. The demon she channels calls himself Jesus Christ. And he's talking to her and giving her, and she's writing. She wrote two or three volumes. This, of course, talks about what she's doing. And these people, people in the churches, are buying into this, and she's getting her information, non-biblical in most cases, although they throw in biblical terms. It is non-biblical. You see Jesus calling, God calling, Sarah Young. It is a woman who is hooked up with demons. She is a channeler. In the Old Testament, of course, they were the ones who cavorted with the demons that peeped and muttered. You'll remember, Saul went to the witch of Endor to conjure up, and he came to get contact with Samuel. Of course, he didn't, and the witch was thinking she was going to get her contact. I don't know what his name, it doesn't describe it. We call an Engoster Muthos demon that was like a ventriloquist demon. He spoke through her, and when he did, she freaked out, because this wasn't a familiar spirit. This was Samuel come back from the dead, and he talked and he said, you know, Saul, today you're going to be with me. And so she just freaked out because she had a demon. She was one who was working with these people who are demons. Another one then is false Christ coming, Warren Smith. Does anybody care? The false Christs are coming. And then this one, which is, I think I mentioned, Christianity and Anti-Christianity. This was written in 1899. And when you read it, you swear it was written yesterday. Except when it talks about historic events, they were things happening in the last part of the 18th century there. And other than that, it's just like today. So there's some books out there if you're interested. And then I hate to even bring this one up. And this is written by one of these mediums who channeled. and this I will not give you. This is one you have to, I will have to wash my hands after this. This is called the World Messages for the Coming Decade. This has messages from all of these demons. One of them's named Jesus the Christ. One of them's called Mary. One of them's called Paul. The demons take the names of apostles and Jesus himself, and they contact people, and through automatic writing, she's written, at least in my knowledge, 4 volumes of this slime. 4 volumes under automatic writing. She goes into a trance and the demons write through her. This is one of those books. That's what we're up against, people. It's going to get more and more intense. We are in the deceitfulness of unrighteousness. But we have hope. We are saved. We're going to be taken out of here. And of course, it's going to be a glorious future. Father, thank you so much for your word. And for all that it helps us to understand about you and the plan you have for us now, how we are to live, and in the future, the joy that we will have unspeakable at the feet of your Son, Jesus Christ. We look forward to that, Father. We pray that you'd encourage us day by day as we live the life and study your word and grow closer to you, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Don't forget, Thursday night, tune in. I'll be there.